Good Wednesday afternoon and welcome to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Today's special guest is Dr. Ray Brooks, president of Piedmont Technical College. And now coming to you live from Sharp Facets Gallery, here is your host, Ann Eller.
We are here, and Ray, it looks like, you're not playing golf today. You look rather like you might be taking off that tie after a while and going to play some golf.
I actually dressed up because I knew I was going to be on the diner today.
Oh, okay. Well, you look good today, Ray Brooks. Hey, we are. Some of the things happening at Piedmont certainly turned into an exciting fall season. You know, with the economy in the tank, with funds being cut, it is good to see a school like Piedmont Tech thriving and growing. I mean, congratulations here. A lot going on.
Well, thank you, Ann. Our folks have done a tremendous job, and I think the students continue to respond. We have a very high-quality product at a very good price point, and in today's economy, if you don't have the skill sets, you're not going to be able to find a job, and I think that's just one of the things that keeps us moving forward and has kept our enrollment where it's at and continues to grow. Obviously, the economy's had a major impact on it, but I think the quality of the programs we offer at the price point they are, and I've always said that I think higher education is more about somebody wanting a career that lets them maintain a lifestyle than it is about just figuring out who they are in the world. That's obviously part of the process, but at the end of the day, I've got to support my family.
Absolutely, and of course, that's where the technical schools, I think, probably might even say they have the advantage because they are focused on giving you that direct line to getting to support yourself and your family.
Absolutely. I think if you got a group of economists together today, and really what Piedmont Tech is more of a community college. Anywhere else in the country, that's what we would be called. Now, there's some unique issues in South Carolina, the reason they will not let us change the name. But we have both the career programs and the pure transfer, the Associate of Arts, Associate of Science. But I think if you did not have community colleges, if they were not had not yet been invented, you got a group of economists and think tank folks together, and they were trying to figure out how to deal with this economic situation we're in, with the competitiveness coming from overseas, how do we keep our businesses healthy. I think the recommendation they would come up with would look very similar to the organizations we already have, and so it's great that someone had the foresight to create a college that really I refer to as the People's College, because we have everybody from high school students enrolled in dual enrollment programs all the way to senior citizens and adults that have either trying to get back into the job force or just maintain some skills, or they want to learn something new in order to occupy their time, and everybody in between. And it's just, we've had an outstanding year.
Well, I think the day of the going to work at 25 with the same job that you have when you're 50 or 60, that's no more.
Oh, absolutely. I've used an analogy before of just thinking about how things change. If you think about the medical field, if I was a nurse 25 years ago and I went to work, and I did my 8 hours, I did my shift, whatever it might be, and I went home, and I fell into a deep sleep, and I slept for 20 years, and I woke up, I got dressed, and went back the next day and walked into that facility, I couldn't do my job because the technology would have advanced so much. And I think there's two things that we have to do if someone comes to Piedmont that we're charged with. One is to give them those skills, give them that education they need today, whether it's to go on to transfer to a four-year college or go into a career. But I think the most important thing we need to do is help them develop into a self-directed, independent learner so that they can keep up and educate themselves as they move forward, because that's key. Technology is evolving at such a fast rate. If you think about waves, you go to the beach and a wave, if it's a day where there's not a lot of winds and storms, a wave would run up on the beach and it would slowly run off. If you got a storm at sea, they're literally crashing right on the backs of each other. And if you think about those waves as waves of change, today we've got one wave that'll hit before it even drains off. You've got another one coming on top of it. And companies, organizations, governmental entities, educators are all trying to deal with those things and deal with them as best they can. And really, when you get back to it, it still focuses on, we're very fortunate here in Greenwood to have an excellent public school system, and it still focuses on those students having the ability. I had somebody ask me one day, if a student's going to college or going to work, what's the different skills? I said, it's not. It's the same. They need to be able to have good writing skills, mathematical skills. It's the very same thing.
They need to be able to think.
Think critically, work in groups.
Yes. And, you know, I think, you know, when you talk about working in groups, I've always said guys had the advantage because of team sports. Now today, I think women are starting to get some of that. But for years, I think women didn't have that team sport that they do now, and I think that helps a lot of them.
I think it probably does. Another thing is, I believe women may be smarter than men. I hate to say this, guys, but we have 69% of our, not 69, but over 60% of our enrollment are females. And if you look across,
so they know a good thing.
Yes, and if you look across the country in higher education, females make up a majority of the students that are participating, and I think they have realized that for them to achieve their careers. And the other thing, if I was a single guy, I think I would figure out that there's a lot more females there than there are guys, and that would be another incentive to enroll in college.
Well, Ray, we are here talking about Piedmont Tech. You know, you have got some exciting things to talk about here today. So many growth aspects happening out there at Piedmont Tech. But one of the things that happened this year is you had a record enrollment.
Yes.
How are you handling all that?
Well, we use a lot of part-time employees. We've got a great pool of adjunct faculty. But we had a 7.4 increase over fall of last year.
That's huge.
Yeah, and sometimes percentages can be misleading, but when you look at us, we were already at 5,000 students last year, 5,700. So we had 428 additional students, and over the last 10 years, we've increased by 36%. And also, a very good thing was this is the largest freshman class we've ever had at the college. And if you look at the demographics of South Carolina in the 17 to 44 year old age group, mm-hmm. that group is actually declining in size. But in that age group is where we've had the most significant increase in our enrollment, which tells me individuals are recognizing the importance of what we do and, again, the price point at which we do it. And there's nobody that can compete with us in that arena.
Why is it more affordable?
I think it is more affordable just the way the college is set up. And if you look across the country at two-year colleges, they're typically the tuition is going to be at a better price point. And I think that, well, I don't think, one of the areas that I know we're doing is looking at everything we do to make sure it impacts the quality of the student experience. And if it doesn't, then we question, why are we doing it? What would be the results if we didn't do it? And basically, we've taken the whole lean manufacturing principles. We've taught every one of our folks at Piedmont Tech, have taken them through basic introductory classes.
Basic training.
Well, it's basic training in how to run a lean organization, and that does not mean that we're simply piling more work on the ones that are left. If you've got a process that's not producing predictable results, then there's something wrong with the process. And then you've also got to look at what is it you're doing, what's the outcome. There's been some reports and other things that we've looked at over the years that we were having to send out to other entities, like governmental entities. And when we started questioning those and asking, well, what happens to them, they go on a shelf someplace. Well, somebody had to take the time to put this thing together. And so we've been able to get some of those things changed. Some of them we've been able to automate where it pulls it right out of our database system. We have taken a much more, proactive approach to our students as far as recruiting and such, and looking at everything from the first initial contact all the way through to their enrollment, testing, placement. And one of our goals is to meet students where they are, take them to where they want to be or need to be. And I think I've shared with you personally my educational philosophy. There should not be any difference in student outcomes based on their socioeconomic status, race, or gender.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if a student comes to us, we're going to give them the absolute best shot for success. Our goal is to have them anywhere. In our vision statement, it says we want to be one of the premier community colleges in the country. Somebody questioned me one day, and they said, that sounds very vague. I said, yeah, it's not vague at all. It's crystal clear in that what we may not be the biggest, but at what we do, we're going to be the best at the things we choose to do, and every day we're going to do something to make sure we get better. And that's just where we are as an organization and where we continue to strive to be.
You know, I think that's something that is so important, and I think in our whole country we've lost sight of that, being the best within the box that we're in.
I agree with you totally.
And so if you can accomplish that with Piedmont Tech, and then we as citizens or in our businesses would go for that, we would be able to turn this.
Well, I think we sometimes forget what a great opportunity we have here in this country. And do we have problems? Absolutely. And it's just like the budget. I could sit and whine about the budgets have been down, and I could complain, and I could use it for excuses to not do the things that I know we need to do. But ultimately, when somebody gets up in the morning, they decide they're going to come to Piedmont Tech, they don't care what our problems are. They want to know that we're going to be there for them. They want to know that we're going to provide them an educational opportunity that will lead to a career, that will lead to a lifestyle. And so I think to focus on the glass being full is doing a disservice. And, you know, I don't remember who it was that said that one time, but, you know, it's either a lead follower, get out of the way. It may have been Ted Turner. He may have been quoting somebody else. Not that I'm a huge fan of Ted Turner. But
well, what is that about the when you're, unless you're the lead dog, the view never changes.
Well, that's right. But let me say this. It's not me. It's not about me. It's about the college, and it's about the people. And I think that's the important one.
Well, every time I talk to your people, they all have the same philosophy. I have never talked to anybody in the, we should say, management staff that is not energized and excited about whatever part they are doing out there. And I think that's a testament from continuing ed to the enrollments. Everybody out there is excited about the change and what is happening to focus on the students.
Well, and I think it's like being on a mission field. We are on a mission field to change somebody's life. And if you really think about it, there's no segment of higher education that will more profoundly change somebody's life in a shorter period of time is what will happen at a two-year college. Somebody can come to us literally just graduated from high school or have just gotten their GED or whatever, go through one of our programs, maybe become a nurse. We just had a young lady graduate from our mechatronics program, which is really the integration of hydraulics, pneumatics, computers, robots, the whole nine yards. It's what's taking place in manufacturing today. She got an entry-level job, $57,000, right out of school.
Okay, I'm giving this job up, and I'm going out there and apply today.
Yeah,
yeah, that's terrific. And welding, the welders have done very, very well.
And if you look at it, there's a lot of jobs that are out there today. And one thing people have to look at sometimes is they may have to move. You know,
that's true. And that's a tough ingredient for a lot of people.
And a lot of people, sometimes you move and you come back. But I think that's another thing that's happened in our society. It's a transient job. I know I've talked to people before where you would ask them what they want to do, or people that I'd be friends with, and they'd have a son or a daughter that couldn't make a career choice. One of the first things I'd ask them is, where do you want to live? Because that's going to determine to a great extent. You know, there's a mismatch. If I want to live in this community, yet I want to do something where there's absolutely no jobs there.
I want to be an archaeologist and live in Greenwood.
Not compatible. So, you know, I think that's one of the things they have to look at. And another thing I would encourage everybody that's listening to do is, whether they're a student or whether they're parents, grandparents, friends, or whatever, be very careful about student loans. Student loans will follow you absolutely forever. Once you take out a student loan, you're going to have to, the only way you can get rid of it is either die or pay it back. And too many times students will look at these things and they think they're cheap, easy money. They'll get the loans, they'll drop out of school, and then they want to try to come back to school. Well, if they're in default on the loan already, they can't come back to school. Or they'll borrow more money than they need to pay their bills, like tuition and books. So they end up running up a huge debt. And the federal government's actually, and gainful employment is a new regulation they're looking at, is that if I go, and this I think may be more directed at some of the for-profit colleges, but if I go into a particular field and I get a student loan and I get a job, am I going to have enough money to loan back and live on?
Sure.
And so, you know, a lot of those things that are going on, but the thing that I would encourage folks to do is, money should not be an issue to keep you from going to college. Now, obviously, if you do the things that you need to do and you stay in good graces, you can continue to get the financial aid. But a lot of times we'll see students that, for whatever reason, they'll decide to drop out or something will happen and they won't follow the proper process and they get in default with they don't stay long enough for the Pell Grant to have kicked in or something else. And then they end up with a financial situation that they come back wanting to try to get back in college, and these are federal regulations that we have to adhere to, and we can't do it. And I would just tell them, the financial aid is out there. It's great. It covers most all the expenses you can get, but you got to pay attention to what's going on and what you're doing and what the impact would be of your act. It goes back to the law of physics. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Absolutely. But Tech, because of the cost, you can do it so much cheaper. And I mean, that's the bottom line. When you get ready to go to school and you're trying to look at a career, and if you're looking at transferring to a four-year school, you can take the advantage of the two-year tech school right here in Greenwood or in any of the other campuses. I mean, we have so many other campuses that are part of the group.
Yeah, we have seven campuses, and there's 16 technical colleges in the state of South Carolina. So there is a college within easy reach of anyone that should be looking, especially the ones that are within the reach of our voice. Obviously, Piedmont Tech is a great choice.
Absolutely. So even though you had the largest class, I guess you still always have room for one more?
We absolutely do, and we would even enroll you if you want to come in and take
yeah,
maybe
energizing.
A jewelry class or advertising or whatever. But we,
Education is something that we are going to need for the rest of our lives, and I think that's a change in focus from people that went to school 20 and 30 years ago.
Well, I think at one point in time, I turned 60 this year, and I think probably when I got out of high school, people looked at it as more of a destination than a journey, and it's a journey. And another analogy I've heard before is that somebody would say it's like a passport. Just because you got a passport doesn't mean you're going to travel.
That's right.
But I travel without one outside the country, and I think it's that way with education. Yeah. Regardless of what you're going to do, if you're going to go into some field and make enough money to sustain your family, there's a few exceptions, but for the most part, those high-wage, low-skilled jobs are just not there. You're going to be hard-pressed to find one.
That's right. So we are here with Ray Brooks. He's energized, ready to talk about all the great things happening right here in Greenwood and the surrounding areas. Did you know they bought a building over there in Lawrence, and they're getting ready to get that going? We're going to talk about all these things when we get back, so don't you go away.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
You're listening to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Today's special guest is Dr. Ray Brooks, president of Piedmont Technical College. And now coming to you live from Sharp Facets Gallery, here is your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are having a good time here talking about all the exciting things happening out there at Piedmont Technical College. You know, we were just talking about the fact about the person that doesn't know the direction and just kind of sitting there kind of really thinking that a job just ought to appear. What do you say, Ray?
I think they need to get up out of the chair and they need to do something. One of my favorite stories in the world is these two buzzards were sitting on a power line, and one of them said, "Man, I'm hungry. I wish somebody would kill something. I wish somebody would run over. We're going to have to wait until somebody runs over something to eat." Other buzzard said, "Wait, nothing. Let's go kill something." And, you know, I think it's easy to sit there and rationalize a lot of things. Essentially, my success, your success, everybody else's success is dependent on our own actions. Now, there's people that's going to help you. There's organizations that will help you. But it's sort of like a door. I can walk up to that door. I've got to make a decision to open it and walk through it. And there can be all the reasons in the world why I don't. But, you know, the bottom line is, I think there's opportunities that are out there, but it's incumbent upon us to take advantage of them. Now, some people might say it's easy for you to speak that way. You're president of a college. Well, I came from a family that had very little. There was no money for me to go to college. I was an automobile mechanic. Fortunately, there was a technical college in the community I lived in. I got out of high school. I went there. I have 5 degrees from 4 different colleges and universities. I've never been a full-time student at a college. But that first diploma that I earned allowed me to do all the other things that I've been able to do in my life. So I'm not a good person to tell you can't do this. You can't come from point A to point B. A lot of people know what they want to do. And I've used this analogy before. It's sort of like if I want to go from Greenville to Columbia, I know to get on the interstate and it's a straight route. Well, not all of us can take that route. Some of us have to start and we get off at Lawrence, we get off
Newberry.
We continue to get off and on, but over time, if we stay focused on the goal, we can achieve it. And sometimes it's got to be indirect, but you know,
a roundabout way to get there,
and there's ways of getting there.
That's right. So these are the things that are available to you at Piedmont Tech. You have the premier guy right here, Ray Brooks, talking to us today. I tell you what, I guess your staff never gets to sit down and say, "I can't do that," huh?
Well, Monday morning we meet, and one of the points of discussion is, what can we do this week to improve our college and make it better for our students? What have we done last week to make sure that we're on target to achieve goals in our strategic and operational plans? And what are we going to do next week? What are we going to do next year? So we're constantly looking at where we are, again, checking the compass to make sure we're on track to get where we want to be. You know, if you travel long enough in any direction, you'll get somewhere.
Where you want to go. Exactly.
Where we want to be is, we want to be the very best at what we do. And we're on track to do that. Matter of fact, you asked me about funding earlier.
Sure.
We've lost a lot of money. We got here at $10 million, down to about $5 million.
How are you able to keep things together here?
Well, we've implemented a lean process. The other thing we did is
Not lean.
Yeah, you can look at me and tell there's not a lot of lean going on. but basically going back to looking at all your business processes, and if it doesn't impact directly on the student, maybe it's something you shouldn't do. Maybe you outsource it, whatever. But another thing we've done is looked at external funding, we have been blessed this year. We have gotten several grants, very large grants, that's going to allow us to do even better. The 2011-12 fiscal year, we have got more than $8 million in outside funding through grants. We just were awarded a Title III grant. You probably heard the term STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, mathematics. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things that when we look at strategically around the country, how do you compete globally as engineers, et cetera, that particular grant will support that effort. It's also designed to assist with retention. It doesn't matter how many students we recruit. What's really important is how many finish. And so we're going to focus on that. And basically, we're going to ensure that we positively impact the graduation rates and the post-graduation success rates of those students to ensure that they got a top-quality, first-class, all-American education at Piedmont Tech and go out. We got an additional grant to focus on retention, completion, and transfers of African-American males. That's one of the most underrepresented demographic groups.
That was one that Becky was looking forward to getting.
We got it. $2.4 million. We were notified Friday, and it will...
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And we think it's going to make a huge impact on the communities we serve. We had a meeting back in the spring where we invited a vast group of people there, and there was universal support and a lot of folks signed letters of support to help us focus on helping enhance that learning experience. Again, males in general are the most very underrepresented when you look. And so also got a Trade Adjustment Assistant Community College and Career Training Grant for $1.65 million this year, which will allow us to add additional hybrid courses, which it's a mixture of online courses, coming to campus, et cetera, which cuts down on the time a student has to spend on campus. But primarily it's focused on those high-tech job creation, high-tech areas, just to bring our equipment all industry standards in those areas. So those are some of the things we're doing.
Those are huge.
I'm not finished yet.
Okay. We are in a second. Yeah, okay.
We've got a high-tech scholars grant this year also, which, again, focused on our engineering, automotive, and some other areas that allowed us to help those students that can't afford the equipment that they need. And it allowed us, it was a $600,000 grant. We've just completed a self-study, what we call the Foundations of Excellence for the first-year experience. If you think about building a house, you don't take a crane and build the roof and then build under it. You start with the foundation and you build forward. So we just have completed a rigorous self-study, which what we looked at was the first-year experience for our students, compared them to standards, and saw where we're good, where we need to improve, maybe where we're not touching on areas. We're meeting now, prioritizing those action items and putting them into place in our operational plans. Again, to go back to what I told you earlier, is our vision statement is to be one of the premier, two-year colleges in the country. And then another thing we're engaged in, you keep moving around over there, you won't ask me a question, is Dream It, Do It campaign, which basically is to help students in high school, middle school, see what kind of careers they are, and they understand what an engineer or whatever does. You want to ask me a question now?
I want to hear a word from our sponsors that keep us on the air, Ray.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we'll be back in just a moment. Don't you go away. We've got Ray Brooks. If you've got a question, give us a call. 229-7984. That's 229-7984. These days are on.
What does WLMA stand for? Well, it stands for Wow, Let's Meet Again, right here on 1350 AM, Greenwood and the Lakelands News Talk Radio Station.
Welcome back to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Today's special guest is Dr. Ray Brooks, president of Piedmont Technical College. And now coming to you live from Sharp Facets Gallery, here is your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We're having a good conversation here. I tell you what, how can you not listen to all that Ray Brooks is talking about, president of Piedmont Technical College, and not get excited? Ray, we just had a call come in from Beth Michaels. She's a mother of four. Oh, my God, 10, 13, 16, and 19-year-olds in her household. She says, I hope you record this. Well, Beth, we will record this. It is being recorded, and we will be putting this up as a podcast or a video on YouTube. I would like to send this interview to my son, my congressman, and my school's new principal, who believes that if you don't go to a four-year school, you'll be nothing. Real goals are the only way to go. And, of course, that's what you're talking about is real goals. And you got to look at the total picture. We may not be able to go to a four-year school, even though that's what, where we'd like our children to go. But the two-year school has so many possibilities.
It doesn't matter where you start up. It ends where you start out. What matters is where you end. And I'm not speaking negatively, and I don't want anybody to think I am, of a four-year institution. It depends on the individual. And I think, as you and I were talking during the break, I've seen we have students that come to us, and we tell them, you'd be better off to go, and we're fortunate to have Lander here in this town. It's a wonderful institution. Dr. Ball and his staff do an outstanding, have bridge programs with Lander and colleges and universities all over the state. One of the things I can think of right off the top of my head deals with her situation is one of the agreements we have is a very interesting one with the College of Engineering at the University of South Carolina. And the dean down there will tell you that if a student comes to USC, enrolls in, there's about a 40% chance they're going to complete. Now, that's not to say they're not going to graduate from college, but they may change their major. Obviously, if science or math is not a strong suit of mine, and I want to be an engineer, it's going to be a difficult task. But the students that come to a technical college first that go into the College of Engineering with advanced placement, they've already sorted those issues out. They're completing at better than an 80% completion rate, and it's allowing them to save some money. And I think one thing that gets overlooked a lot of times in where somebody goes, the affordability issue. I may be academically able to do the work, but if the financial pressure results in me either dropping out or just giving up, then that's a very unfortunate situation. So, again, I think you're right. You've got to look at the total package. But there is no either-or equation. All segments of education, I think, have their place, and we've all got to work together to ensure that we do what's in the best interest of our students, one, because if we take care of our students, then I think we're going to all be in a good place.
Then the students will someday take care of us, Ray?
Well, I hope so. Like I said, I'm 60, and I'm not moving as fast as I used to, and that's got to be a lot more on my mind lately. It's sort of like the old equation was, if we don't do a good job training our plumbers or our philosophers, neither will our pipes nor our theories hold water.
Now, that's a good one, Ray. But, you know, and I think that a part of the thing with a technical school is it used to be that if you went to a technical school, you weren't doing the best that you should be doing, and that has changed so dramatically, but I think there's still some of that left.
Well, it probably is, and it probably always will be, and, you know, it's just like, how much is enough of something?
Exactly.
And I think when I look at it at the end of the day, I think we've got to look at, and the student's got to make a choice, is what can I do now? And it's not to say that that's the point. It's just intermediate destination. Again, going back to my situation, you think about me, I was an automobile mechanic. There is not sort of a direct career path between being an automobile mechanic and being a two-year college president. And I actually went out.
I don't understand. I thought that was a direct career.
Yeah, well, I graduated from technical school, went to work as a mechanic, started teaching. There was a local two-year college, a lady that works here with you. Her father used to be president of Dalton State College at the time I went. It was a two-year college. And I wanted to get an associate's degree, and I went part-time and did that. And then the opportunity arose for me to become a auto mechanics instructor at a high school. I did that for a couple of years and ended up teaching back at the technical college.
But at the time, you never thought that teaching where you wanted to go. That's the amazing thing.
Yeah, and if somebody had ever told me I would be doing and have the opportunities I've got today, I told them they're crazy. But, you know, I did that, and then the next thing I know, I'm working near college, and I thought, well, I'll get a bachelor's degree. So they didn't have distance learning then. I got my bachelor's from the University of Georgia. It took 10 years, and I drove from Lafayette, Georgia to Athens, Georgia on Saturdays. Every schedule, which was a three-hour and something drive, wore out. I can't tell you how many cars, but eventually got my bachelor's degree, and then a position opened up. They started a night school there at the college I was working at, and I applied to be, I called it the Dean of the Darkness at the time, because I was the guy that kept the ability, and eventually went back and got a master's degree from Georgia State University, and I have two graduate degrees, an Ed Specialist and a doctorate from the University of Alabama, and that's not a normal, but I've seen time and time again where you don't know where you're going to end up. And I think it's sort of like we all have choices in life, and it goes back to the door scenario. I've got a door in front of me. I got to choose to walk through it, and if there's going to be another series of doors, and it's up to me. The opportunity is there. I've just got to have the wherewithal to make a decision and be confident enough that I can do what it is. I think it was Vince Lombardi's body can endure whatever the mind can comprehend, and I think that's what we got to do is, you know, get our mind wrapped around something that we know is right for us, and then put every ounce of energy and effort that we got into making it happen.
That's like being in the radio business. I never knew I would be in the radio business. I never knew I'd be interviewing Governor Nikki Haley or any of the other people that
I know. And
I
bet if you talk to Governor Haley and a lot of politicians, when they first, you know, were out of school, they probably never thought they would be where they are. And I think that's the thing with all of us.
He wanted to be a delivery nurse.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, opportunities happen. And a lot of people talk about luck. And I think luck is a very hard thing to define, but the best way I've ever heard it defined is luck really is defined when opportunity and preparation meet. Because if I was not prepared, even when the opportunity itself,
exactly,
I could not take advantage of it. And so that's really what education is. You know, just it goes back to that passport scenario. I don't think I ever finished a minute ago. But just because I've got an education doesn't mean I'm going to get something in particular. But the fact if I don't have it, I'm definitely not going to get it if it requires it. And I can be mad at everybody involved, but who's really to blame?
Yeah, that's true. That is so true. You know, one of the great things that's happened at Piedmont Tech is all these bridge programs.
Oh, yeah.
And also the fact that we have so many high school students going to class at Piedmont Tech. Some have even gotten their college degree, their two-year college degree, at the same time or before they even graduated from high school.
Yeah, we had a young lady this past spring that she walked in our graduation ceremony in May and then graduated from Emerald High School in June, and she's now a junior. She's 18 years old and a junior at Anderson, I believe, yeah, majoring in accounting.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, we have Shelby Dominick heads that up for us at the college, and I think we had roughly 600 students in dual enrollment. We've got over 800 this year that are. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for the student. It's a wonderful opportunity for the school system. It's obviously a wonderful opportunity to college. Some of those students come to Piedmont, but many of them go on to other four-year colleges and universities. And it's a great opportunity for their parents because, again, they beat.
That's right. And, you know, we talk about economy. We talk about all this type of thing. One of the things we haven't talked about that we need to is we need to be able to talk about what's happening in Lawrence. They had an announcement.
Yeah.
They have a new business that's coming in there, and Piedmont Tech is going to be supplying the workers.
Yeah. ZF Corporation is a transmission supplier from Germany, and they're building a new transmission plant over 1 million square feet, and actually it's up above in the Owens Park above Gray Court in Lawrence. And Susan Heath, who works on our staff, is working with theirs. We've sent some of our staff to Germany to research their production methods, et cetera, to develop a training plan. And they're actually in the hiring mode now, hiring folks. I think when the mayor was out here at the mall recently, they were actually represented there either through a labor company or I think one of their our people, employment service, or either their folks were there. But they're going to be training 100, 150 a week that they hire. They'll go through a pre-hire and then a post-hire training, which we're doing. We didn't have any place to do it, and we were fortunate enough to find a piece of property right off 385 that's probably about 6 miles from where that plant is and the other industrial park. And we did not have in our Lawrence facility any industrial programs. It was primarily a We did a lot of gen ed classes, et cetera, there. So one of the options we looked at was actually building a training facility on that campus. But that campus is a good distance from where this park was. But we found a building. Actually, it was in foreclosure. We were able to buy it for just pennies on the dollar. And we're in the process now of actually Davis and Floyd here in Greenwood is doing the design work on it. We will be gutting that building, remodeling it, and upfitting it. Part of the grant we got, the $1.7 million in the trade assistance grant, will help us update all of our equipment here on the Greenwood campus. We're also building we bought the old Walmart building on Wilson Road through a local option sales tax that Newberry County passed. And we're going from about 20,000 square feet into 70-something thousand square feet up there, being some programs similar in nature there. But basically, we'll have three centers that can train at whatever level a company needs. And again, it supports the local economy. And again, it goes back to that. We impact local. We impact on the local level, but our reach is global.
Well, not only that. I mean, you are taking advantage, like finding that building in you are running tech just like a business has to run, taking advantage where you can find the advantage. You're not getting the financing from the state, and you're still extending because you're able to find and find ways to make it happen. That's what business is about in the real world. That's what business is about at Piedmont Tech.
Absolutely. And again, our business is all about people. We seek out, hire the very best people we can. We develop them, grow them, nurture them, hopefully. All of them would not tell you that I'm doing a great job, probably, and I respect. But again, it boils down to they're the ones that are getting all this done. I'm just fortunate enough to be in the position I'm in.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's see. I'm in from my man here. Called in from Kuwait.
All right.
Bill Jones and Mary Jones called from Kuwait to say hi to mother-in-law Jane Powell. Works for Halliburton, repairs hydraulics on heavy equipment. Piedmont trained. Wife works training women computers for analyzing motors. How about that?
That is great.
Isn't that great?
That's another part of that global reach.
Yes, exactly. And,
that's great.
Emerald High grads listen to every game right here on WLMA. So there you go, streaming live wherever you are. We're in that global economy, too.
Absolutely.
So that's pretty cool, huh?
Well, I told somebody one time, they said, well, what's the reach of Piedmont Tech? I said, we're in your community, in your house, in your state. We help to be in your thoughts at all times. And if you're looking to give away money, we help to be in your philanthropic.
Well, there you go. I tell you what, Piedmont Tech is definitely on the move. They've had a great, since you have come on, you certainly have made some exciting new changes. Now, we've talked about when will the campus in Newberry be finished?
The campus in Newberry, now that's the one where we bought the Walmart. We expect to move it in December of next year.
And
the Lawrence facility, we're on a very fast track in it. We will be in it by March.
By March, wow.
Yeah,
and when are they actually going, is that business?
We're already doing training at both the Lawrence facility, our existing facility, and in some other spaces that we have leased. And we've got a contingency plan. If we cannot find enough space until the facility's ready, we're going to rent some mobile units, put them on our Lawrence campus to deal with the, because they're on a very steep, it's a wonderful company. And let me tell you, this plant they're building up there has more, or the approximate same amount of square footage that Boeing is building in Charleston.
Wow.
Now, you think about that impact on a community.
Absolutely.
And they're very fortunate to have this facility in Lawrence. And I think it will impact on a fairly wide region, because you'll see a lot of folks, even though you may not get a job with ZF, there may be people in existing companies that go to work for them, and that opens up other spaces. So it's wonderful that they got that facility. And, of course, here in Greenwood, we've had some retail establishments open up. My wife won't mention the names because they can just buy their advertising, but she's been in those. She's also out here in the lobby at Sharp Facets right now.
I saw her credit card
come out. That makes me a little bit worried, because we're going to lunch, if we can afford to, here in a minute when she gets through out there. But, you know, I think there's a lot of things going on that'll positively impact a lot of people working hard on economic development, and we're just trying to make sure that we bring the piece to the table that's workforce training and development that makes our area as attractive as it can be to companies that are looking to expand and grow. And ultimately, it comes down to, if the jobs are there, you know, we've got to have people that are ready to fill them.
Well, not only that, you have to be aggressively working with the companies out there to make sure that Piedmont Tech gets the piece of the pie. You know, I mean, it doesn't just happen.
No, it doesn't.
You have to work with these companies.
And as I told you, I've been here now before 4 years in March, at the end of February. We, we set a goal when I came here of increasing our external funding, and we've done that to a degree, but we've been writing grants and writing grants. The second time we applied for Title III, the first time we didn't get it, but it's the good Lord shined down on us this time because we had in process, every one of them hit this year, which is going to be a game changer for Piedmont Tech. It's going to change. It's going to fundamentally change the college and allow us to improve and do some things that we would have not been able to do in this time frame. But it just accelerates, I think, our ability to achieve our ultimate goal.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to finish up here with Ray Brooks. He is excited. We've got more to talk about. Hey, if you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. Let's hear a quick word from our sponsor, and we'll be right back.
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
You're listening to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Today's special guest is Dr. Ray Brooks, president of Piedmont Technical College. And now coming to you live from Sharp Facets Gallery, here is your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are back here. You know, Ray, just I think it was maybe a week or so ago, y'all had an announcement that public computer labs have been made available through a grant. What a terrific thing. I mean, you know, you think of the library, you think of some of these, but there's not always enough available, and yet you've been able to open more.
Well, that was another grant. Again, it goes back to our whole community outreach, what we're attempting to do. And we have a very wide footprint. We're in seven counties. And so there were some of these areas where they literally were not, there was not a library, or it wasn't available, or it wasn't in close proximity where a lot of the folks were. So we were very fortunate. Our folks worked with the grant and got these systems installed, and there's been very good usage of them. Been very pleased.
Absolutely. But I think that's terrific. So it says they're going to help provide computer access to many people who otherwise would not have it. So now if somebody is interested in finding out how that works, do they just call Piedmont Tech?
Yeah, just they can look us up on the web if they've got a computer. or yeah, they can call my office. It's 864-941-8302, and we'll be glad to direct them to the individual they need to speak with.
Absolutely. So we've got new computer labs now. Other things. What's on the horizon for Piedmont Tech?
Well, we're again moving into all these facilities and continuing to work through these grants that we're a couple of them are multi-year grants over a 4-year period, and will be game changers to where we actually hope to increase our graduation rate significantly. You've got to understand also that. A lot of the individuals that attend two-year colleges are some of the highest at-risk students for dropping out that there are out there.
So it's a challenge to keep them in school.
It's a challenge to keep them in school. Eliminate all those barriers that would, and sometimes it's we're our own worst enemies. We maybe have self-esteem issues, and person gets up enough courage to come to school, or come to college. But once they get there, they got this little voice in the back of their mind saying, maybe you shouldn't be here. So they're not really looking for a reason to go forward as much as they are validate that little voice. But once you get them over that, they'll cross the finish. So there's a time there of vulnerability from the first day they set foot to some point in their educational career that we've got to have people attuned. We've got to have early alert systems in place. We've got to have, you know, one size doesn't fit all. We all come with unique kind of issues that we have to be able to sort of address. And as an organization, what we're looking for is how we can do that for the maximum number of people, which ultimately will impact the quality of life in the community.
Absolutely. So you've got to have quite a well-attuned staff then to make sure that they are addressing these issues.
Well, we do. And the other thing is they've got to be of a personality and nurturing. I think the most important thing that my office is for is to ensuring that we hire folks that are a good fit for our organizational culture. And our organizational culture is one that we're going where they are, and we're going to take them to where they need to be.
Absolutely. You know, this has been totally inspirational. I think I'll just go out and charge right forward here. Right?
Well, I'll tell you what, when my wife gets through out here, I may have to need some more students out here because she's still out here shopping in your store.
Well, I may need to charge out there and help close that sale up then, Ray Brooks. You know, Ray, it is always a pleasure to have you on. I know you are excited about the things that are going on. We do need to say just one quick word, though. Continuing Ed, what great programs and always changing out there.
Oh, yes. Rusty Denning, who heads that up now. Rusty is located right across on Emerald Road, sort of there from the restaurant, the hamburger restaurant on the corner. I'll let it remain anonymous. And they have a vast array of programs, does a great job with their existing industry training. He's the one that interfaces with companies that does training there, and also any just about anything you would want to be interested in. And if they don't have it, you can get enough group together, or if there's enough interest, they'll do it.
Absolutely.
And one thing, can I mention, Ann?
Sure,
we're
absolutely.
Selling our automotive program for a couple of years now, has built a replica AC Cobra, which is the car Carroll Shelby made famous in the races. Beautiful car. We will be giving that away in December. Tickets are $100 a piece. There's only 400 tickets to be sold, so it's a much better opportunity than a lottery. That car is valued at about $40,000. And you can call Brenda Brooks, no relation, but you can call Brenda Brooks at 941-8305 at Piedmont Tech, and she would be glad to help you out and help you be able to get a ticket. Or you could email her at
This is WLMA right here in Greenwood. Okay, Ray, go ahead.
But anyway,
What would you like them to email? Sorry, go ahead.
You could email Brenda. You could find her on her webpage, but we need to sell some more Cobra tickets.
All right, so they still have tickets available for the Cobra. Now, what is the date they'll actually be giving that away?
It's around the first part of December at our Christmas banquet. We do that, and we've got a bargain on those tickets. Now, they're $100 a piece, or we'll sell you two for $200.
God, what a salesman. Hey. All right, call Brenda, 941-8305. That's 941-8305. Now, what color is this Cobra?
This one is red. It's Lamborghini red, and it is absolutely beautiful. And I can tell you, I have to say, I'm an automotive guy to start with, and I just start drooling when I look at it.
It's a beautiful car. I've seen it out there. So make sure you check that out. Get your tickets now, 941-8305.
And the proceeds over and above the price of the car is used for student scholarships, so it's good cause.
So it's a win-win situation. All right, that's going to do it for us. This is WLMA right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Ray Brooks, thanks so much for coming out to see us today.
Thank you, Ann. It's always a pleasure.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.